This is News in Notes. I'm Tony Cox. This month, we've been featuring a series looking at the family unit. All along the way, one particular idea keeps popping up, and that is that families come in all shapes and sizes. Take the happy clan of Melissa Bradley and Alessandra Burns of Bethesda, Maryland. Together, Melissa and Alessandra have 6 children. From a former marriage, Alessandra has 3 biological and 1 adopted child. And now, since Melissa became Alessandra's partner, the couple has given birth to 2 new twins. But that's not the end of the story. Melissa and Alessandra join us now. Welcome to the both of you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, it's not the Brady Bunch, I suppose, but it's definitely an interesting family setup. How would you describe your household?
Melissa? I would describe our household as organized chaos and a lot of fun.
And a lot of fun. How would you describe it, Alessandra?
I would say there's a tremendous amount of love and a lot of noise.
Now, Alessandra, I'm going to ask you, because you had children first, adopted and in a previous marriage relationship, how has your family life, yours personally, changed from being an adopted parent to being a wife and mother and now being in another relationship and a mother again?
Well, when I adopted my first son, I was 21 years old. I was actually still a senior at Georgetown University. So my life was entirely different, and I was able to focus on just who he was and how he was growing. And I think it's appropriate to say that we did a lot of growing up together. Then when I married and had 3 more children, I was also still in my 20s. And so my perspective on life was that I didn't believe that anything could go wrong, that everything was going to be all right. And I really raised my children at that time from that perspective. I also attended medical school while the 3 of the younger children at the time were really, really just starting out. So it was a very, very busy time. I think once that Melissa and I married and decided to add more children to our family, I now parent from a very different perspective. I'm able to be home full-time with the children. I get to be there when they come home from school in the afternoons. And what I'm finding is that as children get older, it actually becomes harder to parent them and not easier because they certainly require more interaction and more supervision.
Now, Melissa, from your standpoint, you came into a situation with a person who already had a family and you added to that family. How did that change your life?
Well, I was single living in New York City and having a ball and went from 0 to 4 children, I'd say within 6 months. So it was quite a shock. And there was a lot for me to learn about what it meant to be a parent. You know, I think we all grow up and we can remember how we have been parented, but you can't take everything that you experienced and automatically put it on your new set of kids. So it was a huge learning curve for me to understand timing, you know, that just because I wanted something done at a certain time didn't mean all the kids wanted something done at a certain time. It was also important to make sure that I was here to be a parent and not just their friend. It was also important just to learn. It was a very different dimension for my relationship with Alessandra in terms of learning how she parents and kind of coming to some middle ground in terms of how she handles things and how I would handle things. And so it was a huge opportunity for me to kind of grow as an individual. I think having the 2 twins, the 2 new children, has been a tremendous gift that I've been given from Alessandra, but also I think a tremendous gift to the entire family. I think anybody who has kids knows there's nothing like picking up a child that is yours and looking in the face and having that pure, unconditional love. And I think it's actually made me a better parent for the older children to be able to know that I did not have them biologically and I wasn't there for their entire life, but to be able to share that kind of unconditional love. I have also just begun to see how I have been able to parent differently and think differently about what my role is in their life.
You know, a big issue in any family with children is discipline and privileges. It's even more pronounced when kids come from different backgrounds under one roof and a pecking order is established. Let me ask you, Alessandra, you can't really treat everyone the same, can you?
No, and in fact, we don't attempt to. We have a philosophy in our family that everyone is an individual, and so they get parented as an individual. People get rights and privileges as they show they're capable of handling that sense of responsibility. And the kids are pretty aware of that. They know that each child is allowed to do what they are able to do at the time that they're able to do it.
Now, here's a tough question for all parents, and I'm speaking as a parent, and this is for you, Melissa, about having favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have them? You probably do, or maybe you don't, but do you try not to let it be known that you have a favorite?
Well, I think there's a difference between having a favorite and being cognizant of when a child needs you more than another child. I certainly work really hard not to have a favorite. But there are times when someone's going through puberty or they have a crush on a boy or have a crush on a girl, they're having a real difficult time in school, that they may require more time. And the kids will say, well, it seems like you're spending a lot of time with that person. And I'm able to say, well, here's why that's happening. One of the things I have come to do is make sure that I check in with every single child every single day so that people know that I'm here. At the dinner time, Alessandra has created a fantastic opportunity for everyone to share and everyone to participate. And there are certainly times that I'll spend more time with another child. But again, it's not because it's favorites, it's because they just need something different at that moment in time.
Talk, if you will, both of you, briefly about this. There is, as I understand it, biracial children. There is the same-sex marriage situation, and there's also different religion. Is that right?
That's correct.
You got it. And we also have a child who's adopted and children who are born biologically. We also have a child from Africa children who were born and raised here in the United States. So there's certainly a tremendous blend. We have some pretty we all eat dinner together every night, and at the dinner table, it's sort of no holds barred. Anybody can talk about any subject. Most people probably couldn't manage our dinner table conversation because just about everything you can imagine comes up. And we do have some pretty serious conversations about race, but also some pretty funny conversations about race. Our oldest son, who is Tanzanian, actually was excited when the twins were born because he was able to remark on the fact that he was going to have some siblings who looked more like him.
Is there a male role model of any sort in your children's lives?
Melissa?
Oh, most definitely. The older kids, actually, it's a shared custody arrangement, so they do go see their father every weekend. And then we have the latest set of twins actually have two godmothers and two godfathers. And the best thing about their godfathers is that they recognize that they play a role for all of our children and not just the twins. So they come over, they have breakfast with us on Saturdays. We have other friends of ours who are male role models who come over and spend time with us and dinner with us. So there are certainly many opportunities for them to be exposed to both male and female leadership relationships.
I assume you do that because you believe that that's important?
Well, actually, I wanted to add something to that. You know, in our household, we use a language that's actually pink and blue. And we say that people have pink energy and blue energy. And pink energy tends to be the energy that most people associate as being female energy. And blue is the energy that most people associate with being male energy. What we try to teach our children is that each of us has both of those energies inside of us. And so we try to expose our children to people who have pink energy and blue energy, and we're not as concerned about what kind of package that energy comes in.
Interesting. Let me ask you this, Alessandra. You've had enough time to assess the family that you have created. Share with us what you think when you look at your children, you know, those moments when you're watching all of your kids and they don't even know that you're watching them.
And what do I think when I look at them all?
Yeah.
I feel tremendous pride, a lot of happiness. Mostly when I look at them, when they don't know that I'm looking at them, I find myself laughing to myself and often out loud. I love that when the kids, older kids, get home from school, they'll rush in to pick up one of their baby sisters and play with them. The way that they interact with one another, they are such all unique individuals, and yet they really find a way to connect to one another.
Mm-hmm.
I feel a tremendous sense of pride and joy, and I would happily add to the brood.
Melissa?
Well, you know, I think of several thoughts. I think, one, how far we've all come. I think any parent who has walked into a relationship where kids have existed recognize what a challenge that is and yet what an opportunity. So I really look and say, you know, how far we've come and what a privilege that we're all making it together. I also look and I say how blessed I am that they actually have really taken on the new twins, and we are literally one big happy family. I think I oftentimes laugh as well, just in terms of remembering, even though I've only been around for a few years, remembering where they were just a couple of years ago. This was a monumental year for many of them because the 11-year-olds actually went to middle school. Our middle school child's in eighth grade, and our oldest child's a junior in high school. And those are some significant hurdles in terms of getting ready for college, getting ready for high school, and just no longer being in elementary school. And I think I, too, share the pride that Alessandra has in terms of their ability to master such a large amount of changes in their lives and still be stable, happy, and healthy children.
Final thing is this. There have been challenges, obviously, for anyone having a family, and yours would seem to present some additional challenges for a number of reasons. How have the children responded to the challenges?
I'll go first, if you don't mind, Alessandra. I think that there's been challenges that I would not have expected. I think that being in a gay relationship, this was not the first experience for the children, so they have mastered that with such ease, and it's no big deal for them. I think being a multiracial household, because, again, it's been happening for years, there's been no big deal with that. I think the hardest challenges were accepting somebody new into their life, and they've done so, that we are at a point where we can honestly look each other in the eye and say, I know you love me, and I love you. You know, I think that the greatest challenges are those that every parent has. It, you know, we're entering a point where we like the opposite sex, or we're thinking that we like the same sex. Our friends are doing one thing, and we want to do something else. And I think those are just normal challenges of growing up and being teenagers or preteenagers. And I think because of the foundation that Alessandra's created and we continue to foster, where you can tell us anything. If you go out and you have a drink with your friends, tell us and let's talk about it. If you go out and you lie, come back and tell me and let's talk about how, why that happened and so you don't do it again. And so I think there's the opportunity for challenges is somewhat mitigated because there is truly a safe space that the kids know they can say anything. They know they're going to get reprimanded and they know they may get in trouble, but there's going to be a discussion around it because we truly want to understand why they're going through what they're doing.
Alessandra, the last word to you.
I would say that one of the greatest challenges is that more than anybody I know, Melissa is an individual who keeps her word to a T. And what that means when you have six children is that oftentimes the first time that we get to have a conversation with one another that's uninterrupted is not until 10 or 11 o'clock at night. And mm-hmm. So we do spend a tremendous amount of time parenting. And because of the number of children we have, we're often in, you know, parenting a child in a different room from another child. And so certainly we have to work at making sure we have the time in our day to continue to build our relationship and foster our relationship and make sure that we're having conversations about parenting, about our children, and then about our lives separate from parenting.
Melissa Bradley, Alessandra Burns, matriarchs of a very uncommon family unit. I thank you both for coming on.
Thank you.
Thank you.